In the name of our blessed triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who in love provides all that we need for our daily life and even for our eternity. Yes, in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends of Jesus, we live in a world of updates and upgrades. You ever feel like it's difficult to even catch up? You turn on that computer, oh, it's another update. You turn on the TV and it tells you to experience the best, the fastest, the most reliable. You need to switch, you need to upgrade today, and otherwise you're going to be left behind. You're going to be a loser in society. You will be a nobody if you don't have the latest, the greatest, and the best. And oftentimes then we buy into that idea. We think, you know, you're right. I don't have what my neighbor has. I'd like a better car, a nicer house, a better phone, and, well, let's just face it, better everything, a better job, you name it. Because there's always someone who has something better than I have, and so I need to update, I need to upgrade in order to be happy. And what happens, sometimes we aren't able to get those things, and so then we reach to our genie in the bottle. We see God as this genie that if we rub the lamp enough, he can grant us all our wishes. And well, sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't, but you know, it sure would be nice if he would give me everything I want. Translation, what I want equals what I need. Here's the thing, though. While we tend to know what God should give us and bless us with better than him, he never said that. He never said he would give us everything we want. He did say this. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. He also said in Matthew 6, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We know these things, but yet still we worry. We plot, we plan, so that we can get. We switch the price tags in our own minds as we listen to the sinful nature that says, God doesn't give me what I need. He should give me what I want, which becomes what I need, and what I really want, and I can't afford, well, there's always the finance plan. There's always the credit card. I can always charge it. If God's not going to do what I want, then I can stand in place of him and take over and take charge. Because he doesn't really know what I want, what I need. Jesus is in a unique position today as we take a look at this section from Matthew, which ironically, or maybe not, this feeding of the 5,000 is in all four of the Gospels. And as Jesus is coming to us today, he's in this unique situation where he's just gotten word of John the Baptist's death at the sword of King Herod, you know, cut off his head. And he goes to be alone. Jesus goes to be alone, not so he can drink away his problems, not so he can pop a pill and forget life, not so he can shoot up and, well, all will be well. Not so he can engross himself in the latest binge episodes of Netflix so that he can forget about life for a while. Not so that he can engross himself in the latest whatever surfing on the internet for hours on end, escaping reality, or the next video game. He goes alone to speak to his Heavenly Father in prayer. What a great example our Savior gives us in our own lives. How often aren't we, by our own doing, creating our own life filled with busyness and not enough Jesus? And we try to fill it with something else. Something else that will give us happiness, something else that will satisfy us. And Jesus is always right there, just waiting to provide everything that we need. And here's the thing, Jesus doesn't just show us this example today, He lives it in our place when we fail to do that. And so when we take a look at this section from Matthew 14, you notice here that when Jesus tries to go and be alone, the crowds don't let Him. When the crowds heard this, that He had gone away to be alone, they followed Him on foot from the towns. Jesus is the one who can give us stuff. He's the one who's healed us. He's the one who doesn't charge us for anything, and He does it all for free. Let's go get some more of this. Let's go find this guy who's made our lives so much better, and let's go rub that genie in a bottle, and maybe He can give us what we want. It's so easy to do, isn't it? To turn to God only when you need something, only after you've exhausted every other possibility, and then, well, maybe I'll just try this whole prayer thing and see what happens. Jesus is here today to teach us one thing. Trust that the Lord will provide. He will provide for you because that's what His compassion compels Him to do. And that which His power enables Him to do. We'll see that today. And here's the thing in all of this, that when the Lord tells us He's going to provide for us, He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to provide anything for us. I mean, you think about the people that were coming and chasing after Him. He knows that they're all going to want Him to be this bread king. He knows they're chasing after Him, and eventually those 5,000 plus, maybe more like 15, 20,000, they're looking for Him for this, let's make the world a better place. You ever heard that before? Jesus can make this world a better place. We call that social gospel. You hear it out there. As long as I believe in Jesus and I trust in Him, He'll give me all my earthly desires that I want. And Jesus is coming today, and knowing all this, I guess I have to ask the question, why does He even bother with the crowds? You know why He does? Because He can't help Himself. You see the compassion of Jesus just coming out all over the place. And you see Jesus, and it's not recorded in this account, but it is in the other Gospels. You see Jesus, and he sees these people, and he remember the words that He uses? They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like infants being tossed back and forth by the waves. And when Jesus sees them, He can't help, as our text says, to have compassion on them as He gets out of the boat and heal their sick. It's almost like they're little children. If they're a little infant that you walk down this dark alley and you hear this baby crying, and to find out that it's a child that someone threw away, it's lost. It's crying and it doesn't know where to go. And you're moved to have compassion on that child. This is what Jesus does. He heals their sick. And that's just one of the things that He did. But maybe you've heard me say this before. When Jesus does this, He always takes this risk. There's always a risk involved when Jesus is going to provide healing or provide something for someone. And the risk is that if He does that, they will no longer need Him. Maybe you've experienced that in your own life. You've gone and you've seen every doctor possible. You've gone and tried every self-help method, whatever it is. You're down on your luck, as they say. You need a job. Your health is failing. Your family's falling apart. And you've tried everything else humanly possible. And so finally you fall on your knees before God and you have nothing else left. And so you say, Lord, help me. And He does. And then what happens? I've seen it happen, I don't know how many times, even in this congregation. The Lord heals someone and you When they're sick, they're here. They're hearing. They're listening. They even say, boy, when I get well, if I get well, I'll turn my life around. And where are they now? So easily, the Lord, He risks so much by providing. How easy it is to need the Lord when He's giving us something, and then when He's given it to us, how easy it is to just simply walk away and go back to life as usual and say, well, I can do the rest. Thanks, but I can do the rest. We have this way of being focused so much on the horizontal plane of life, that is, the things around us and the problems around us, that we forget the greater problem that's right in front of us, and that is our vertical relationship with our God and the sin that naturally separates us from Him. You know, there's this narrow road that we walk as Christians. On the one hand, we trust that God's going to provide, but we don't just sit there and we don't just live lazy lives and say, if I hit a button, God's going to give me everything I want. I don't have to do anything for it. And then there's this other side that says, I can do everything. Whenever I need something that I can't do, I'll reach out to God and I'll press the easy button and He'll fix it for me. See, there's that narrow road that we walk, and really the way that we walk it is what Matthew 6 tells us. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Your Father knows what you need. And what you need is what He provides. Remember that vertical relationship. He watches over you in that vertical relationship and then also provides for you in that horizontal relationship with the world. He gives you the talents, He gives you the abilities, and here's the biggest one today. He gives you the time to use not just for your own well-being, but He gives you enough time to come back and be refreshed and to know how He continues to provide for you. That's one of the things that He would teach the crowd today, but really not so much the crowd, but the disciples that were there. See, this whole episode is more so geared for the disciples than it was for the crowd of people. He's going to teach them humility. He's going to teach them servitude. He's going to teach them, just trust that I'm going to provide. I mean, they would have had the example of the wedding at Cana where the Lord provided the water into wine, right? Why wouldn't He be able to provide for these people either? And yet as they stand there on the hillside, the question comes to mind, hey, you know, there's a lot of people here. We don't have any food. We don't have any money to feed them. Let's send them off. And it makes sense, right? We can't feed them. Send them off to the marketplace. They'll be able to find something. Maybe they can get something before it closes. Except Jesus puts a screeching halt to that thought with these words. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Us? You told us to leave everything to follow You. We don't have anything. Understandably. We've got these 5 loaves and 2 fish here. By the way, it's Philip that answers that. So if all we've got is these 5 loaves and 2 fish, which would barely feed 2, maybe 3 of us, much less probably not satisfy us, to feed all these people would take several months' wages. Let's just send them away. That would be easier. And they could have. They could have done that. There would have been nothing wrong with that. Except that Jesus wanted to teach His disciples, and He wants to teach us. Trust Me. Trust in Me that I will provide, and My compassion is there to show you just how much I do provide for you. So, He could have walked away. He could have said to the disciples, you're right, you know what, we don't have enough. Let's go. Send them away, we've had enough. I'm tired, I'm exhausted. I'm still grieving over John. Let's go. But he doesn't. He doesn't for the disciples, he doesn't for the crowd, he doesn't for us in this life, and he certainly doesn't for us in our death. And here's where, if you read too fast through this section, you completely miss it. Because here is where the compassion of our Savior comes gushing forth without the disciples. I don't think they even realized it. Here's where Jesus turns like a father to his little child who's having a difficult time with whatever it is and trying to fix it, and all of a sudden the frustration just grows, and all of a sudden he throws his hands up and he says, I can't do it. And Jesus comes over and he says, bring them here to me. You can just hear that in your own life. I can't do it. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. You know, Lord, you want me to give you an offering and give more? Well, then there's not going to be enough there for me. I want this new house like so-and-so has. I want this new car that so-and-so has. I want a new phone. I want a new wardrobe. I want a new life. Something that money can buy, and there's just not enough. Bring them here to me, Jesus says. Bring your problems, bring your troubles, bring your worries to me, and I will provide a solution for you. And he does. He has the privilege not to, but yet he also has the power to. And that's exactly what he does. And really, it's in the details here. Pay attention to how he does this, because this is what differentiates this one from any other parable. As we read through this, Jesus tells the people to sit down. And they're all separated into groups, so it's easier to count them out. That's order, right? But that's not why he tells them to sit down. He tells them to sit down because it's easier to see. It's easier to see what Jesus is about to do. It's easier to see that Jesus is about to acknowledge that his own Heavenly Father is going to provide all of his needs. And so Jesus not only teaches, but he also does what we don't do. And he not only sets us the example, but lives it. And even as he trusts and thanks his Heavenly Father to provide that food on that day, then he takes what he's been given and make note of this one word. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. They didn't buy them from Jesus. They didn't earn them. He gave them to them. In the same way that he would give the disciples the loaf after loaf, fish after fish, to go and give them to the people who didn't earn them, who didn't work for them, who didn't provide them themselves. And I can't help but think, if you're one of these disciples, you know there's 5 loaves of bread, more like flat bread, and there's 2 fish, and you keep going back up, and you're seeing, this is way more than 5. Where's all this coming from? Imagine the lesson you're learning. As you're serving, you're being served. As you're giving, you're being given. As you are trusting that he's going to provide more for the people, you're trusting that the Lord will continue to provide. And he doesn't just provide so that everybody can get a little breadcrumb, does he? What does it say? It says, they all ate and were filled, satisfied. Isn't that ironic? This whole crowd of people wants to follow after Jesus because they wanted something from him. They wanted to be satisfied, and what does he do? He fills them up. He satisfies them, not just physically. Because Jesus is equally concerned about the body as he is with the soul. And what does Jesus do? Very often when he does the miracle, for example, the man who was paralyzed, Jesus comes to the man and he says, your sins must be forgiven. And so he forgives the man's sins, and then he says, okay, take up your mat and walk, and the man does. What Jesus sees is that there's such a close connection between our body and our soul that the one feeds the other and the other feeds the one. That when your body doesn't have enough, your soul turns and says, no, remember the promises that God has made for you? You will never go hungry or thirsty. Or maybe when the body is filled, it tells the soul, look at how God has provided for me. Look at how I now get to give thanks for all that the Lord has provided for me. And yet one more lesson the Lord teaches us is, in this nation where we have so much, read a statistic the other day that over 50% of all produce gets wasted. That's not even including in our homes. You know, it's the stuff that's GMO, genetically modified, so that it looks perfect in the grocery store, and so that that's the only stuff people take, and then what's not quite perfect stays, and then they can't sell it, and they don't sell it fast enough, so they got to throw it away, and it all goes to waste. What does Jesus have to say about this great nation whom the Lord provides so much food for while other nations don't have enough to eat? What the Lord says is, I've provided all this world needs. It's your job to give it out. Where do we get that all from? Because they went around, the disciples, and picked up 12 basketfuls of what was left over from the broken pieces. Trusting in the Lord to provide is also trusting that leftovers are also from the Lord. As much as we don't like to eat them, they are also from the Lord. So, what does the Lord teach us today? So many things. So many things in this familiar story. But the one that rises to the top of it all is that as we trust in the Lord to provide, that really He provides more than just food. That for us, He not only provides that spiritual food needed for our souls, but He's also concerned about that physical food, clothing, everything we need for our bodily welfare. To lead us to see His compassion. To lead us to trust in His power to provide. To lead us to see that if He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, then why would He also not then give us everything else? Let us then, as we trust in the Lord to provide, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then everything else will be given to us as well. Amen.